Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for listening, and thank you for joining us today. We had a really busy turnout yesterday with our show with Randy Siegel. There's still people downloading that show from yesterday. And today we're welcoming Annie Burnside to the show. So welcome, Annie. Hello.
Hi, Elizabeth. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being with us. I just want to direct people as we are, you know, just a little bit of housekeeping here to make sure that if you're listening, if you want to, go to besteveryou.com and join our website. We also have a mailing list to join, and I don't usually do mailing lists and mail newsletters and information out, but we've got something pretty exciting going on. I was just signed with Hay House for my new book, Percolate, Let Your Best Self Filter Through. And the book is going to come out August 2013, and Dr. Katie Eastman is in there, too, writing. She does some of the coffee breaks and so forth, and it's just we're really, really excited about the project. So if you want to go to besteveryou.com and join our mailing list, you can also join the website, but if you want to join the mailing list, we'll let you know more about the book as, I guess, Annie, as we get details about the book being released and so forth. It's just a really exciting process. And go to hayhouse.com for more information there, too. I know they're having a big sale for all their Christmas books and programs and audio tapes and so forth, too. So we're really, really proud to be associated with Hay House. It's a big deal. And I don't know, Annie, it's pretty cool, isn't it?
Congratulations. Thank you. I love the title, Percolate.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
That's what we're going to do today, I think. We're going to percolate everything parenting because we couldn't have a better parenting resource with us today. I love this. You're a soul nurturer, which is what every parent and child needs. Everybody needs that in the world. You're an award-winning author, public speaker, and teacher who specializes in parenting and conscious relationships, authentic living, and spiritual development. That's a lot right there. And if that doesn't sound like anything you really are very familiar with as you're listening, we're going to uncover what all of that means, especially as it relates to parenting over the next hour. Annie's agreed to be with us for the full hour. So what a cool show. Are you a parenting expert, like teaching people how to parent, Annie?
You know, the work really is about the parent parenting themselves first, and as they become more whole and self-realize, which I believe is possible for every single one of us and what we're all being called to do in 2012 and beyond, then that absolutely changes the energy of the home. It gives your children permission to be fully themselves and be up and running with their gifts. The more psychic debris that you clear from your own soul and being as a parent, the less your children will actually have to clear when they're 42 like I am, and the inner work has been long, you know. So that's really the point of it. It's about parenting yourself, and of course with many, many threads that you can immediately offer to your children simultaneously.
What a great idea, because, you know, we do all have, well, hopefully our kids won't, because we'll have done it all perfectly right. We do all
yes,
have
I'm
work
sure.
We do all have a lot of work to do, you know, depending on what's happened to us in our youth or childhood or even our adulthood. And then when you have children, boy, it all comes to the surface, doesn't it?
It certainly does, yes. And you know, you look at our beloved children, and we don't necessarily want to pass on some of the subconscious things that we do, our shadow that comes up all the time and how we interact. So to me, the spiritual path has been a path of self-exploration through my own interior. And boy, Elizabeth, it continues and continues. You think you're done, you think you're healed, and then boom, there's something else that the outside world or my physical body is showing me as a beautiful clue as to how I can even go deeper and uncover more.
So you have a book. Let's mention that, too. Your website is annieburnside.com, and then your book is Soul to Soul Parenting. And this won a really prestigious award, the 2011 Nautilus Silver Book Award. And then you also actually won a second award, the 2011 Next Generation Independent Book Award. Those aren't given lightly.
It was a thrill. Thank you. And, you know, the book, I just want to tell listeners, right, you know, it's just, it poured, it's my first book, it poured literally out of my heart and before I even knew what a book proposal was. I was very new to all of that, the business side. I was a former teacher and then a stay-at-home mom for years. And so the book came out first and then, oh, well, let's get an agent and let's see how it goes. And then to get the awards, it meant a lot because it's what we do in our own family.
Yeah, it's hard to write a book too, isn't it? That is not an easy process.
Yes. Well, yeah, I'm writing my second one, and I tell you what, it is. You know, the first time I was just beginning my work, and I had more time to really focus on it. Now the work has gotten a little bit bigger, and I love it, and I have my hands in many things, and I'm having a bit of a harder time blocking off the time to actually sit and focus on it as much as I'd like. And my kids are teenagers and busy. And so it's just a different stage than I was in years ago when I wrote it.
Well, let's mention that too, because you're a mom of three and it sounds like we have kids pretty much the same ages. I've got I'm trying to think, mine are 10, 12, 15 and 17. So pretty close.
Yes. Oh,
I have all
we're
boys.
Right in
what
there. I've got two girls. My oldest just turned 16 last week, and then another girl 16 months later, and then a boy, 12. Awesome. And I just want to tell people, you know, we're going to be talking a lot about this path and what we do in our house, but, oh, we are so far from a perfect family. It's not about perfection. It's just more about accountability for the powerful creators that we really are. My two girls, they share a room. You can imagine, Elizabeth, it's not pretty quite often. And I'm talking messy and some fighting sometimes and eye rolling and this and that. So we have all of that going on as well, as well as this connection to spirit that we're cultivating.
Well, I'm going to have to hang up then because my house is perfect.
Yes. The laundry's folded. And,
oh,
right.
Yes. I mean, everything's there aren't three cats, a huge dog, 8 million loads of laundry to do every day, baseball stuff everywhere. I mean, I did this.
Yes.
I did this blog. I don't know if I ever turned it into an actual blog that I published, but I know I thought about it. There was a baseball cup. I don't know if your boy plays baseball or anything.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
summer
the cups
long.
That go
cups
right
everywhere.
Down the front of the pants. You know, I have baseball cups like in the middle of my decorations on my shelves, and I'm like, oh, why does that go there? You know, kind of thing.
I know. I love that closeness in a family, though, and I think that's what kind of the modern family, it's certainly who we are. We're very open about all of it, and it just, that's who we naturally are, and I think it really benefits the children as they grow up and they go through puberty and they're just comfortable with their bodies and they're more comfortable in their own skin than I was at that age. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly, we're definitely not about perfect parenting here, but we're going to all try to do the best we can. How do you want this to go for listeners? Do you want to give them information from your book or do we want to just sort of keep chatting about everything that you've got going on? Because you've got a lot going on here. I know you host your own radio show called Soul to Soul, and that's through your platform, the Good Life Networks, which is your Soul to Soul Circle. So there's a lot of information right there. Do you want to just stop and just maybe explain all of that?
Sure, I can share a little bit, and then back to the conversation. Yes, like the radio, you know, it's so funny how writing a book or anything that you do, it takes you down these paths that you've never been on. And 2 years ago, if you'd say I'd be on radio shows, much less hosting, I would have thought, you're crazy. I've never done anything like that. And I don't know about you, Elizabeth, but I love this medium of radio. It is so fun. I've met wonderful people. And then, yes, I started hosting my own show, but I've just switched networks to something launching, the Good Life Networks out of Vancouver, Canada, which will have the opportunity for podcasts and online courses and, you know, that whole direction that we're all going. So that's exciting. But I want to share with listeners something, one of the favorite things about what I do as a soul nurturer, because I invite you to create one for yourself if it resonates to do so. I think we really need more of them in the world today. I run soul-to-soul circles. I live outside of Chicago with like-minded individuals. So far, it's been all women. But every Friday morning, 20 of us gather, and we share. We share from the soul. There's a great love. There's a safety. I'll run like an 11-week session. We're just finishing tomorrow. I'm very excited. 11 weeks together and take a break, and then in January, we'll start up again with new people, old people. But I always use a gateway, such as a book like The Power of Now, or an audio series or something, and then that's just simply the gateway to our own self-exploration. And I just, it's very easy to do. Women love it, and I hope more men will join us, but it just gives people a safe place to really practice being more authentic and sharing from that deeper space. So, and call it whatever you want to, we call it a soul-to-soul circle. And it's absolutely the highlight of my week. And quite frankly, I wish that teenagers and all kinds of different age groups would start one. I just spoke at a church in Chicago, and they want me to come back and speak on how to create a soul-to-soul circle. So I just put that out there as an idea to people.
Yeah, that's really cool. Now, do people come with, you know, $20 for the session? Is it something like that, or is it more like a monthly fee or yearly fee, or is it free even? What does that mean?
Well, I send out to people on my list what we're doing next, and people have been with me for many, many times and kind of get excited, what's going to be the gateway, and then knowing that's just the doorway, and then it leads to our own inner work and discussion. But I charge like for an 11-week session. And so people come 11 Fridays in a row, and then a 3-4 week hiatus, and then I'll send out another, this is what we're doing this time, and then people are in or they're out, you know, it depends. And tomorrow we've got a real treat. The book that we did this time was Robert Schwartz's Your Soul's Gift, and it's all about the Akashic Records, and he interviews channels, and a beautiful woman who channels right here in Evanston, where I live, is coming because it really relates to the work, and she's going to channel for all of us. So just really unique things. And now, I tell you what, in 2012, people are so open to different modalities and the thinking outside of the box, much different even than when I started the circles several years ago.
Sure. And to somebody listening who has no clue what you just said, you know, there are a lot of people who are just starting this journey, and they might be like, channel, what does that mean? Can you back up a little bit and explain what that would mean, and the book that you're reading and what you said there? Because I think we might have lost a few people not knowing.
Okay, absolutely. I have to remember all the different audiences and where people are new on the path or have been on the spiritual path since they were 19, like I have been. So yes, this is absolutely all-inclusive for anyone interested here. Through my self-exploration, I was always a very deep, reflective child. And when I was 19, my parents went through a very difficult divorce, one of those dark nights that rips and cracks you open but ends up being quite good for the soul if you can, you know, get through the uncomfortability and the pain from a human perspective. And it really set me on a path, more of an outside-of-the-box path, where, you know, there are many, many different ways, and there's a lot of assistance out there. And it led me down to some things like seeking out a medical intuitive, someone who can help get to the root cause of a physical ailment. Oh, my gosh, beautiful collaboration there. And you'll never look at an illness the same way again. You go to those deeper layers, the emotional root. And a channel is someone who is a seer. All cultures have had seers, they're quite gifted, and that's what their gift is, and they can see a larger perspective that includes your soul history, and they're really can offer some wonderful insights that maybe a traditional therapist.
To somebody who doesn't, who's skeptical, what would you say to get over the skeptical part of that? Because that could be that's a really uncomfortable leap for a lot of people to go from, you know, one day just kind of existing to the next going to somebody who can see a bigger picture and really taking that leap of believing them.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I'm sure you were there
to
at one
me
point in
when
your life where you were like,
yeah, anything that we're talking about now, to me, we're at a point where, you know, it's fine to stay kind of more on the surface in the five sensory world, that you only believe what you can see, or you can move a little bit more into a sixth sensory, what I call multidimensional realm, where you at first maybe just intellectually are open to it, but gosh darn, eventually you begin to feel that you are so much more and others are so much more, hence the soul-to-soul nature of my work, than you can traditionally see just with your eyes. And it becomes a real felt reality. And I'll explain a soul-to-soul experience that I had several years ago that really opened me to this. But I say everything to gain, nothing to lose. And if you try something and you walk away and think, oh, that's not for me, then that's a yes in itself. Because you know that's not a pathway I choose to go down. Or if you go and you're just absolutely amazed at the connection and the insight and often tears in the eyes and a tingly feeling in the body would be your answer, that whisper of, yes, this feels right. I will say that I've really helped a lot. That's what I do as a soul nurturer, people help people open to themselves, to their soul, to different ways of looking at things. And the work is just growing by leaps and bounds. I've had no one really that I've ever recommended, oh, well, why don't you try a channel to go a little bit deeper with that physical ailment or join the soul-to-soul circle that's been disappointed that at going deeper and knowing themselves better.
Yeah.
So I hope that helps people. And Alice, do you want me to share my soul-to-soul experience just so people can understand what I'm talking about?
Well, I think it would be brilliant, yes. And, you know, especially for someone like me, you know, I've been resuscitated before. So, you know, it all has, to you and me, we sort of get it, you know, and understand different things and so forth. But to somebody new, it's a really hard sell sometimes going, yeah, you're going to tell me my future, or you're going to tell me that medical ailment is really the cause of, is really caused by that, really, you know, kind of thing. People are skeptical.
Yeah, there is some resistance, of course, still, although more and more and more, just from my personal experience and what I've seen in the Chicago area, the tides are changing. And even when I just spoke, my work is spiritual, it's not religious, but I was asked to speak at an Episcopalian church in a suburb of Chicago, and I went last Sunday, and I was thinking, oh, you never know, you know, will people be open to the soul-to-soul message or not? And many people visibly moved. Mm-hmm. A woman sobbing afterwards. There's a feeling, at least that I'm getting, that people are yearning for more. Mm-hmm. And I would voice it as people are yearning for their soul. And there's a sense that there's so much more in all of us. So the time is ripe. I mean, people like Oprah, I'll use her as an example, she's really pushed it into the mainstream with her Super Soul Sunday, with her show over the past 10, 15 years. So, but I'll share my soul-to-soul experience. I was walking one day down by Northwestern University near where I live, and I've been on the spiritual path for quite a while, but more intellectually in some ways. It just resonated there. But I was walking along, Elizabeth, and I looked over, and I saw a lawn care worker. And all of a sudden, I was overcome with the greatest ecstasy I have ever known. My energy was moving up and down my body in ecstatic waves. I began to cry. It was a breathless feeling. My scalp was wide open and pulsating. And the only way I can describe it was an utter feeling of peace and oneness. And there was a sense, as I was dropped into that space spontaneously, that the lawn care worker and I, although we appeared to be quite different in form, in probably every way, we were part of the same divine presence. And once that opened for me as a felt, I drop into it quite often now, in the grocery store with the bagger, driving down the street after dropping kids off at carpool, and witnessing two boys walking down the street with a skateboard in the space, that there are 7 billion faces of God walking on this planet, angels in disguise. And, you know, so I can only share my perspective and experience, and I'm so happy to do that, and I've gained the courage to do that. I used to not have the courage to do that and speak so openly about it, but only to say not because I'm right and others are wrong, but just to say this is what I've experienced, and I feel it's possible for each and every one of us if we desire it.
So what was it about, I'm guessing that it was a guy, but what was it about the lawn care worker that was so fascinating?
I don't know. I just looked over, and I was in a high pipe and walking.
That would frustrate me. I'd have to go up and go, hi, how are you? You know, kind of thing. Did you,
you know, it's not, to me, it doesn't, whenever I've gone in that soul-to-soul space, there are no words. It's an understanding on the deepest of levels. We both know it to be so. There's nothing to say. There's nothing in the physical realm. But I tell you what, the more you have those experiences, and that's where the title soul-to-soul parenting and soul-to-soul perspective is what I blog for the Chicago Tribune Media Company, and my radio show comes from that because I've since had many, many soul-to-soul experiences, and it's beautiful.
Well, I'm just going to keep on keeping it at a very basic level because, you know,
yes,
my audience
yes.
is some people are familiar with it and some people aren't, but tell me again, and I may appear like I don't know the answer, but you know, I get what you're saying.
Yes. Oh, no. I'm open
to
however this goes.
I love to hear different perspectives on things, but what do you mean when you say soul to soul?
Well,
what's
at
a soul
first it
even?
Could start, if this is what's resonating, if people are thinking, that's interesting. I, for 30 days, even as a family, because we've introduced this to our family, soul to soul is really the recognition, both intellectually and then hopefully the ultimate goal is a felt experience that you feel in every pore of your body. It's a cellular feeling, a quickening, that it's not really role to role. So it's not really just parent to child. It's soul to soul. It's not really teacher to student. It's soul to soul. It's not really cashier to customer. It's soul to soul, meaning that there's a larger perspective that is who we really are that goes way beyond the physical form. I'll call it the human suit that we see with our eyes.
Yeah.
And as that becomes a part of your understanding, it absolutely changes the way you relate to other people. It allows a much larger space for forgiveness, for understanding, for tolerance. It doesn't mean that you become a doormat. It does actually, you learn to speak your truth even more because self-love also grows as you feel the oneness. But there is an understanding that we are all part of the same whole. We are individuations of a beautiful divine whole. And in 2012, I think that, you know, we want to heal the planet and make changes in our society, and I truly believe that the missing piece is a spiritual piece, not a religious piece, but a spiritual piece, a remembering of who we really are. Because when that understanding's there, you really don't need moral laws to say, don't kill someone, don't steal. There's a feeling of oneness with that other person. There's a soul-to-soul perspective. So that's really where all of this is going. A small mission, I know, right? But
yeah.
It has to start somewhere. It's very grassroots, like in our own backyard, on your own street, at your own grocery store, with your own lawn care worker, with your own doctor. Can you be that? When you walk into Starbucks, how do you perceive the barista? Just as a role of server and client, or can you even observe and try and feel the larger perspective of who that barista is, no matter what her attitude, no matter what she looks like, whether she's rude, whether she's kind, can you acknowledge in your heart that she is a soul?
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, and you can correct me or whatever, you know, elaborate, but does that mean that, first of all, you have to believe that we have a soul, and that the soul that maybe you've had past experiences, past lives, and your soul goes somewhere when you die? It's a complicated question.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say there's anything. To me, this is more universal and all inclusive. I wouldn't say that you absolutely have to believe in past lives or not, or go down that path. Even if you were an atheist, I would think that if someone is breathing and a life force in front of you, if you want to call it life to life, that there would be a deep respect for that.
The other life.
I would call it sacredness and awe about life in general, the oak tree that I'm looking outside of my window. And as we become more still, we're able to sense that. So I would want to include absolutely everyone that we can here. So if we call it life to life and that feels better for people, then that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that, I'm going to keep going down complicated questions because I know you've got to.
Sure, I'm in, all in.
All of this, but do you believe that people come across our paths for a reason? Because like you might interact with that cashier and I might interact with a different one completely. And yeah, it's probably a little bit based on our area of where we live and so forth. But I find if I pay attention a lot, I always find there's a reason. I don't know. I'm pretty deep like that. I drive people nuts a little bit. I'm like, there's a reason we're talking, Annie. Let's figure out what it is.
You and me both. The deeper, the better, is what I say. No,
yeah.
I'm just kidding. I can talk about jeans or hair or whatever else you want to, too. That's all part of it. I'm in a human body as well. But, yes, the more I've gone down this path of self-exploration through my own interior, again, it's personal, it's intimate. But I will share here that I have come to see myself as so much more than meet the eye in every single one of us as well, that we are very powerful creators actually, that our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our choices, our priorities are all energy, and that we shape our own reality and pull and attract and people in like a huge radio tower, like sound waves, much more than people realize. And I'm not a scientist. My husband is an AP biology teacher, believe it or not. And so we'd have big science and spirituality talks. And from what I know of quantum biology and quantum physics, science is beginning to really move in this direction, much more than even has been mainstream published yet. So yeah, absolutely. I don't think that they're coincidences. I think that we're creating our own reality to a very large extent. Yes.
Yeah. I have a real common saying that I say. It's like if our lives meet, I hope we're both better for it. You know, in other words, if our paths cross, let's both be our best. That's one of my sayings I always say. And what it really means is we've come across each other for a reason, and you know it may be. I've come across people where, you know, I needed an attitude adjustment and they gave it to me or whatever. You know,
you never really
know why. But it may feel negative at the time too, or it might feel really positive. But your life, there are all sorts of people that come in and out of your life all the time. And some, it's very confusing in a way how some stay and some just come come into your life for a little while, and then maybe sometimes you don't ever talk to them again.
Yeah. I think that's very true. We're all mirrors for one another, and I use the outside world to really let me know what I need to look at within myself, both the light and the dark. So I'll give an example of that. If I were out in front of my children's school, and I felt a woman there that I was having a conversation with was extremely aggressive, and I felt very triggered by that. How can she be so aggressive? My first inclination from the human perspective would be to get angry with her. How dare she? Who does she think she is? But from all the work that I've done, again, it's ongoing. Once I could get beyond that prick, ooh, you better believe I'd be going home and journaling as to why I was so plugged into that. And from what I found on my path, it would probably be one of two reasons. She's mirroring back to me that I can sometimes be too aggressive in my attitudes and interactions with others, maybe not to that extreme, but she was mirroring that to me, or the opposite, which is usually the most likely in my case because I was brought up to be a real people pleaser. She's showing me, mirroring to me, that I could be a little bit more assertive with my truth, that I could share more directly, more firmly, but that this is how I feel. And so I would thank that woman. I would bless that woman, actually, because she helped me uncover something that needs to be healed within me.
Yeah,
and that's a really tricky thing for people to understand. But once people understand that shadow work. Oh, it's so exciting. When you're plugged into something, you're like, woo, man, I want to dig that out. What is that deep wound in me that I've refused to look at? Or in a physical ailment can be the same way. I've had many things through the years, and I never take it just at face value. If I were to break a wrist, yes, I'd go to a traditional doctor and get it set, and I'd be looking because the wrist represents flexibility. Where am I not flexible in my own life? And I use my journal a lot for that and try and get to the root of it a little bit.
Now, would it be safe to say that sometimes you think a little bit too much ever or not?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you know, there is, I used to think that the spiritual path was transcending the body. And really it's about having complete awe of being in a body and being on this earth and gratitude for that. So, yes, I think I tend to go too much to that second layer immediately. I love the metaphor, the energetic layer. And then some people tend to just stay on the physical layer too much without making any connection. Yeah. So, yes, I would agree. I could come center and they could come center, right?
Yep. Yeah, well, I think that's the whole point of this conversation, really, is to get people, if you can, to, you know, just show them, not get people, let's rephrase that, just show people that there could be another side to common medical, common thinking, mm-hmm. what's right in front of you. You know, there could be more depth than what there appears to be.
Well, I explain it to people like this. I mean, even like your book or my book or a piece of paper, or I'm looking at a picture frame on my desk right now, all of that started as an idea, as a thought, as energy before it manifests physically into the picture frame that you hold. And this is basic, you know, science, I guess. But and what I've been taught through the years, through many beautiful medical advisors and through all of my studies, I mean, book after book after book, until I've really begun to utilize it, it's the same with the body. You know, if something occurs in the body, it starts energetically first. Mm-hmm. And then it eventually, it could take years, manifests into an illness or an ailment. So I always like to be aware and acknowledge that layer. And I work with my body a lot, and I've taught my children to do that, that, you know, our knee, for example, is intelligent cells make up our knee. And many people, if they were to tear an ACL or something, it's just let the doctor fix it, which is fine, of course, do that. But what about our own relationship with our body? I dialogue with my body a lot, and personally, I would caress that knee and thank the knee for what it does. It allows you to stand, for goodness sakes. It allows you to ski. It allows you to run and really create a relationship of appreciation and love for the body. And I think that's really missing in our Western culture, especially. And we could do a lot more to invite self-healing than we do.
Yeah.
So I think that's important. And these are the type of things that soul-to-soul parenting helps parents with, looking at things in a little bit of a different way so that your kids grow up understanding these things a bit more. And it isn't just everything at face value.
Yeah.
They look for the deeper meaning.
It's very interesting because I read I think I was reading Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. Again, I read that every once in a while.
Love that book.
Well, sure, yeah. I think everybody does. And I got a guilt, just a major dumpage of guilt on myself for this. I was reading the back of the book, and then I don't want to give away the whole back of the book in case somebody hasn't read it yet, but basically it says stuff about your kids, and if your kids wear glasses, they don't want to see something that's going on in their world and all this stuff. And I'm just like, oh, my God, I've got two kids that have bad eyesight. What am I doing wrong? You know, kind of thing.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, it's funny how we are as parents. I mean, it's just very interesting how do you ever come across, just go back to parenting for a minute, because I know we're off talking about all these deep things and so forth, but going back to parenting, there's a lot that goes into parenting, and I know, you know, I've got four kids, you've got three kids. It's crazy stuff, isn't it, to try and figure out. It's interesting to try and correct the things that either I'm going to go on here for a little bit, interrupt me too, but, you know, correct the things that you perceive went on wrong in your childhood so that they don't duplicate into their childhood, but then they've got a whole other set of things that they don't like.
Yes.
The whole thing, I'm like, okay, I throw in the white flag.
Yeah, oh, yes. It is complex. And yet, at the same time, I would never want people to be scared away by this conversation, like, oh my gosh, if my child has glasses, it's my fault. It's, to me, it's not about
no,
that at all.
Exactly.
Or it's just being open to the possibility of a larger perspective and a deepened heart. That's really what I call this. Just being a little bit open to some of this goes a long, long way. And even with our kids, I'll bring it to parenting. I mean, they just through my modeling it, you know, I use language like, oh my gosh, you guys, I was out today and boy, did I have to trust my vibes. I got this feeling in the pit of my stomach and I took that as a red flag. So we've talked about that with our kids. We've used that language.
Yeah, we
do. I had a soul to soul experience and it was the same. My head was tingling. There was tremendous love and oneness. I was down at the beach recently in Chicago with this man that had been on a jackhammer that walked down to the same beach I was on to take a break. And I had this soul to soul. And so I shared that at dinner. So some of it is really just apparent if this interests them and enthuses them to go down the path themselves and then bring it naturally into the family through the language that you use, through how you share, through the amount of joy that you allow your children to see, through your own authenticity, through if you have a health issue, model what it looks like to go a little bit deeper. Like, gosh, you know, this is bothering me. I went to the doctor, but I'm really going to look at myself. But, yeah, if it's something with the eyes, maybe there's something that I'm not perceiving, that I'm not open to perceiving. And I worked with my journal on that today. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. Bring it into the family really naturally, your own path.
Yeah.
Like
not,
if I were reading your book, Percolate.
I just thought that was so cute with, just a literal translation of, oh, my God, I fit. You know, but that's what we do as parents sometimes. You know, we beat beat ourselves up at the slightest thing. I mean, it's just crazy some of the things we do. And so I think it's really important as parents and kids to just give ourselves one giant round of gratefulness.
That's
what we talk a lot about in our household. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, this isn't perfect. You know, like even if it's as simple as like even if something breaks in the house, just like then we go back to, okay, well, let's just be grateful we have a house. You know, we're always finding some way to be grateful. And that's what I've taught my kids is like totally come from gratefulness, come from love, come from trusting your gut and your intuition, and then throw in a big round of compassion for other people. And that's the way they've been raised since birth.
That's beautiful. And I can't say enough that gratitude so much more than just teaching children to say thank you because it's the polite thing to do, that opening them to the feeling of gratitude is the greatest thing they will ever have in their toolbox to raise the vibration of any situation. I mean, you know, holiday season's coming up. You walk into a post office, there's a long line. Do you kind of let yourself fall into what I would call the muck, or do you stand tall in that beautiful body that hopefully is standing on two legs or not, but breathing and look around and think, wow, I'm grateful for the four walls here. I am grateful that I am mailing a package off. That's kind of what I think you and I are talking about. You really utilize gratitude as a tool, a daily tool. Really
not
powerful.
Not entitlement. You're not really entitled to actually be here even. So, you know, go from there and work your way to gratitude because, I don't know about you, but none of us are really entitled.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And we always say, you know, if you're still breathing, if there's a breath of life that is coming in and out of your body, then there would be that to be grateful for, you know, and all of us have our challenges and some more extreme than others. So this is not at all about not having challenges in your life, you know, but it's about the way you perceive the challenges and work with them, maybe from a little bit of a different angle.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, I interrupted you when you said percolate and you said you were going to say something about it. Did you want to?
Well, I would. That'd be a perfect example. You know, say I order your what I'm sure is going to be a fantastic book, Percolate, and I'm loving it and I'm reading it. Then we do family discussions in our house. It used to be every single Sunday when we started really laying down the groundwork. And now it's just become more infused that it could happen spontaneously anytime. But if there was a theme or an idea or an insight, I'm sure there'd be many from your book that I was enjoying and using. Soul to Soul Parenting would ask that you don't just save that for yourself, that you break it down into a digestible bite somehow for your children. And maybe it's a discussion at the dinner table, or maybe you do a family discussion on it.
What a great idea.
So
that's a really great idea.
It's not really about reinventing the wheel. Or there's a song that you love. Why? Because you feel connected. You feel open. Then that's your family discussion. We've done a lot like that. It's popular songs. Lita Wise did this song, Sweet Serendipity. He was an American Idol winner. We love that show. We watch it together. So a family discussion was listening to that song, talking about what a serendipity or a synchronicity is, and then listening to the song again, and then that was it. So just really including your children on your self-exploration process.
So there's a lot of conscious parenting. There's a big conscious parenting component to you. Huge. It's what you are. And that is almost, let me ask you this. Do you find that I think we have similar parenting styles. I'm wondering, do you ever feel like you're kind of a throwback?
A throwback? How do you mean?
Meaning,
make sure I get this
does it
right.
Feel like, see, I try and raise my kids so that, you know, it's not all computer and TV and this and that. And they have their share of it, of course, but I try and really bring in like almost like a 1950s approach, you know what I mean, where we're actually sitting down to dinner talking. We're talking about, you know, like we talk about your book, or we talk like we all, my friend Gabe Berman, he wrote Live Like a Fruit Fly. Hi, Gabe.
Yes, good book.
We all love his book, and we talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's written in such a way that the kids can read it. And, you know, they don't have to be 21 to read it. They're, you know, my 11-year-old
lives
like a fruit fly. And so, but we do have dinner discussions about that, or we'll be sitting on the couch and talk about that. And I'm wondering a lot if life's gotten so busy that people need to bring this type of thing back into their life or lives.
You know, I think there is that. And I would say it's really and both. I mean, we're really a mixture. We're a busy modern family. And a top priority is this conscious parenting component and really creating opportunities and space for more stillness, for more quiet, for contemplation, for reflection. I, for one, you know, maybe I tend to lean way in that direction, as I'm sure the listeners can get, but I'm a very reflective, contemplative individual.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go too long with too busy, I mean, I feel it in my body. I feel nauseous. I feel very out of sorts. I'm a very interior, exterior, interior. And so we try and model that and create space for that within our family. So in a sense, the throwback, yes, we are not ones to say each person does three activities each season by any stretch of the imagination. But they do some of it. They do some travel sports. They do. So it's a real balance.
Yeah.
But I can tell you what, that for our kids, yes, academics are very important. My husband is a teacher at a big high school here on the North Shore of Chicago. We're on top of it. And yet, boy, when my kids are 25, I will feel like we will have offered them our very best if they have a strong inner compass, if they're comfortable in their own skin, if they feel courageous enough to follow their natural gifts and gateways and offer that to the world. To me, that's more important. That makes my soul smile. Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering if you could give an example of one of your children, like just like what you said, following a natural gift, and then maybe I'll share one of we have a child who just sort of did that too. Just to kind of perk ears up to, because it's really important to recognize. I have four children, for example, and I'm just going to, you know, use my kids as an example. You have three kids, and they're each different individuals. they're individual souls, if you will. They're individual. They're not all raised to all like cars and all like white bread and all like coffee and all like, you know, we've got six personalities going on in this household, and the dog even has a personality, and so do the cat.
Oh, I know. Our dog does too. Yes, lots of dynamic. Very interesting, yeah.
Yeah, but to really tap into that and not treat everybody the same way, but rather to foster their own individuality is really time-consuming, but really
especially
cool.
In a society where, you know, there's kind of a status quo that you're always kind of, it feels like that you're bucking up against a little bit. Yeah. I'll give you two examples, and I'd love to hear your examples too, because that's what this is. It's conversation, it's sharing. One is how my older daughter decided not to continue on with something. She had been, my husband's the varsity soccer coach as well, runs six teams up at the high school, you know, so that was all in their background too, and the underlying dynamics of that, which I'm sure are there. But my daughter had played travel soccer, top team for years, and she was getting ready to go in high school. And she came to me late one night and she said, "Mom, I don't think I want to play soccer anymore. I'm not sure, but I'm getting this feeling I might not want to play." And they, you know, they were flying, traveling to some different places. It was getting quite crazy in some ways. And so I said, "Okay, Aiden Lee, let's sit quietly, and I want you to feel your way on this. You're going to make the choice. I'm here to help and guide you." And I said, "Close your eyes." And I asked her to imagine what it would feel like to go into high school with the same schedule, playing at this level, travel soccer, and just be with it, just feel it in her body. And she did. And she opened her eyes, and I said, "How'd you feel, hun?" And she said, "I felt dread. I felt a pit in my stomach. I felt some anxiety." And I said, "Okay, that's good to know. Close your eyes. Imagine going into high school and doing some different things and having a pretty much totally different schedule." And you know what, Elizabeth? She didn't even have to open her eyes and tell me. She began to smile, and she opened her eyes smiling. And she said, "I felt lighter." Well, and I said, "Well, there's your answer."
Well, you know? and kudos to you guys too, because, you know, there are parents that are like, you know, "I was a soccer player. I'm not a pro soccer player, and I want you to be one." And so from birth, you know, it's like, "You're going to be a soccer player," kind of thing, or what, you know, that whole pressure.
Yes.
Kudos to your husband for, you know, not ripping her to shreds, saying, you know, or making her play because he's a soccer coach, even if, or whatever.
And she's now a sophomore, and just so everyone knows, she picked up badminton. Oh my gosh, loves it. Laid back sport. It's big here in Illinois, fun, and she's made the tennis team 2 years in a row. Not particularly great at it. Will never make varsity playing tennis, but is happy to just have a chance to play on a team. Happy as can be, as far as that aspect of her life. So it definitely was a good decision for her, and we made it by helping her to feel her way, which is the point of my story. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then what's your second story? Because I've got one.
Well, this is a family that we know of, about a natural gateway, and you really can see the natural gateway in your kids by observing them early on. Where do their eyes sparkle? Where are they able to focus long periods of attention? Where do you see enthusiasm? You look for the joy, and those are gateways, natural gateways, that really will probably carry on even maybe into a career. You never know. But anyway, a little boy age 3 loved fabrics, loved texture, and when he was 11-ish, 11 or 12, the mom gave him a sewing machine. And the dad did resist a bit because of different societal pressures, and that's understandable. Everyone is where they are. But that mother, Elizabeth, I say to people, I don't care what language she spoke, metaphysics, Catholicism, Jewish, it doesn't matter. That is soul-to-soul parenting at its finest, because she felt her child. She allowed her child's true nature to be exposed. She encouraged it. And that's an example of allowing your child to follow a gateway. So those are my two. What is yours? I'd love to hear about your kids.
Well, we have, you know, like I keep saying, we have 4 boys, and pretty much from, I don't know, little kids, they've pretty much all played baseball. That was kind of their sport. And you know, just something we did as a family, and you know, just something fun to do, because I love baseball a little bit more than soccer. It was kind of like our love, you know. My husband and I were like, okay, well, you know, they're boys, let's play baseball, right? So we get into playing baseball and stuff, and as we've grown up, now the kids are older, some still play baseball and some don't. And that, those moments where you, and I'm going with my son Quinn, who's 15 and a sophomore in high school, he's like, I feel pressured to play baseball because everybody in his family plays baseball, you know, kind of thing, but I don't want to. I just don't want to play baseball. And so he didn't do it his freshman year, and we're like, okay, well, that's cool. You know, do you want to do anything else? And my husband kind of looked at him and said, you know, he was out in the backyard swimming in the pool, and my husband said to me, you know, he's kind of a fish. He really is. Mm-hmm. He can swim. That's his gift. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, how'd we miss that, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so we said to Quinn, you know, let's do something like maybe get you lifeguard certified, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, you don't even have to – let's just see if you can do it or whatever. Let's just go up there and meet. So we went up to Cumberland, Maine, and met with the lifeguard certification teacher, the swim coach person and everything. And it just by fluke, the new swimming coach for Seacoast Swim Club had come, who's Australian, New Zealand, I'm sorry. He's from New Zealand and then California. He moved to Maine because his wife wanted to be here. So we've got this award-winning, you know, Olympic-level coach, you know. Anyway, it happens to be his first day, and we walk into the pool for lifeguard certification stuff and just getting a vibe and all that stuff. And he looked at Quinn and said, hey, mate, why don't you just get in the pool and let me see you swim? Just by looking at him.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And our kid not only made the team, but he's like thriving. Like his grades
wow.
had gone up, his, I mean, just amazing. And it's his gift. It's
That's
just wild.
It's beautiful.
And it's
one of his many gifts, and you recognized it, and then you opened doorways for him to follow it, you know?
I
love that story.
Yeah, and so totally different, you know, when you're, I could feel, you know, sometimes you don't mean to do things as a parent, but, you know, it's just kind of what's going on in the house or whatever. And you really have to stop and kind of look and go, whoa. And we've kind of, you know, we've known we have four different kids, but common to kind of all of them is baseball for some reason. I have no idea. And he's a good baseball player too, but he's as good he's a better swimmer than our kiddo Cameron is at baseball. And our kiddo Cameron does what you did, the soccer travel, and we have baseball travel. Like, we go all around the country, and, you know, he's a pitcher and all this stuff. And just very interesting how the different gifts are with different people and different kids.
It is.
And that's what I love about people, too. I mean,
yeah.
All people, whether they're kid, young, old, whatever, I love all the different gifts people have. It's so cool.
I'm most interested in that as well, Elizabeth. And I say to adults the same thing. What makes your, observe where you feel peace, where you feel open, where your eyes sparkle, and do more of that. You know, that it is, and without fear of what people think or apology. When the Lake Michigan is warm, which is not warm for too many months, my favorite thing to do is to go down, and I do dolphin dives up along the shore, like on a Wednesday, because I'm done with my work and my kids were back in school. Ugh, I cannot tell you how many times in September I either rode my bike down to the lake or walked or drove and did dolphin dives all by myself. Why? Because I feel connected to my spirit. I love it. It's where I'm open, and you might get a great idea. The flow, you know, is more available to you, that universal flow.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very important as we speak on this for our children to do it ourselves. And the baseball thing is funny. Nate Berkus, who I'm sure many listeners know, is the designer that Oprah kind of discovered. I read an article in the Trib. He's here for his book or something. And he said how much he appreciates his mother, who only made him play baseball for one season just to try it because it was social and it's what a lot of the little boys did. Yeah. And when he said he didn't like it and would prefer to go to garage sales, she allowed it. And yeah. I had to just smile when I read that article and thinking that's exactly what I'm talking about. And look at him now. He's a designer and he's living. He knew at age 10 or 11 he loved garage sales and furniture, and now he's made a career out of it. So yeah,
if you really pay attention, it's there, and I think it's so important. But you know, to really try and pay attention if you can. I know we're all really busy and all that stuff, but you know, I see things. You can just see what they love to do as kids, even, and as an adult, to come back into those things that you love to do as a child, or pay a lot of attention to your intuition and gut now for the things that you love to do, like your dolphin dives and Lake Michigan, mm-hmm. and all this stuff. The things that we love to do that make it's a kind of like a peaceful calm that comes over you when you do those things. It's like it's really hard to explain. If you don't know it, but how do you teach people to find those things?
You know, that's part of the soul to soul parenting.
It is, I know.
It's really, and it's modeling it. I mean, I don't just keep the fact, for example, that I do dolphin dives to myself. I share with the family, oh my gosh, I had the most blessed afternoon down at my favorite little beach. I finished my work and boy, I got to go down there and do my dives, or I've been down to the beach with them. Or they know that my whole book was written riding long bike rides, because I love bike rides as well. They're very peaceful to me. Mm-hmm. I'm very open. And my kids know that about me. And then I know what their gateways are.
And I love photography. I just love. There's nothing better than a rainstorm and my camera, and I'm out. I mean, I love photography. So it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And you just find the things that sort of recharge your batteries, is the way I try to explain it to people. Just a good,
solid
battery recharge. But we've got.
And I will say to people, as far as kids, you know, our middle daughter Piper, turns out she just really loves animals and different things. But she went through a period in, I don't know, fifth, sixth, seventh grade, where she had tried a lot of sports and done different things, and nothing really
got wired that way. Yeah,
and she, and you know, goodness gracious, an American kid, she came home for those years and did nothing, no extracurricular. She took our dog for a walk. She was in our backyard, and now she's in high school and, you know, ran cross country, and she's doing photography, but it was fine. For 3 years, she didn't have to do an extracurricular to prove her self-worth to society, you know. So I think as parents, we can really be a little bit more okay with that too. They don't have to do anything.
Yeah, we've got 3 minutes left, so I'm kind of like, oh.
Yeah, so goodness.
But no, I so appreciate that comment too, because, you know, we go through periods of time where we don't do anything. Like right now, we have no sports going on. And it's fine, and everybody's doing their own thing, or they're writing, or they're watching TV, or, you know, there's not the extracurricular activity police that are going to show up at your house and
give the family a
fine for, you know, not having each person engaged in three sports after school each day.
Right.
You know,
and as
crazy.
You point out, there's a calmness about that that is very pleasing in our busy modern world.
Yeah. Well, so we have 2 minutes left. Is there anything that I missed completely, or did we get
I know we were all over the place, and I sure hope listeners enjoyed it. I appreciate so much, Elizabeth, you just letting me be myself. I mean, that's what, to me, that's my biggest message. Just be yourself and offer that to the world. I call it Anniness, so call it whatever your name is, and just it's taken me a long while to have the courage to be more fully myself in the world. So I appreciate the opportunity to do so today very, very much.
Yeah, and I love this conversation. And yeah, it did skip all over the place a little bit, but I think it needed to, because, you know, there's terms and things that get brought up that people just might not know and or fully understand. And I think going back and covering those makes this a really powerful conversation. I mean, I'd say this is one of
that.
My favorite
Thank
radio
you for
shows.
That. And it reminds me, too, you know, to make sure that my audience is understanding what I'm saying. So thank you.
But, this might go down as one of my favorite radio shows we've done. So it's really
Well, I'm honored. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I love the topic, too. I hope you'll come on again as you continue to grow and go through your journey. It'd really be fun to have you back. Because it's a fascinating topic, all of it is. So.
Well, thank you, but only if you'll be on mine for Percolate when that comes out.
Yeah, it's exciting.
I'd love to talk to you about that.
Thank you. All right. Well, Soul to Soul Circle, Soul to Soul Parenting, Annie Burnside, everybody, annieburnside.com. Thank you, Annie, for being with us. We sure appreciate you. And have a great day. It's a beautiful day.
Thanks,
all
too.
Across the country.
Yes.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.